the Google Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final for some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Bird's Eye View here on WTBR, WSBR. Jesse Kalaikin here, doing the solo pre-recording, actually, from my living room. So please ignore the sounds of my radiators in the background. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening, thank you for tuning in on Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully you're with family or friends. You're eating some good food. Like I said, we pre-recorded this because the station is closed, so we'll have a normal broadcast next week. I think we'll hop into basketball season next week, so this is kind of just a quick, breezy episode because Lee, tough loss on the road against West Boylston, but yeah, hopefully you guys are eating some turkey, some cornbread, cranberry sauce, which I think is a highly underrated part. Little apple pie, something like that. The reason I suspect many of you guys are here, Lee, a tough first loss of the season to West Boylston in the Division 8 state semifinal. Number 2, Lee, lost 42-22 to number 3, West Boylston. Lions back in the D8 Super Bowl for the third time in 3 years. Back in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 4 years. They won the D7 title in 2022, won D8 title in 23, 24, and now are looking to make it 4 in a row in 2025. They will face number 4 Randolph, which beat number 1 Neshoba Valley Tech. I'll give credit to Neshoba Valley Tech. I had been talking like they were a paper tiger. I had been acting like they, you know, got the one seed just because of who their league was and they weren't on that level. They gave Randolph a game. They gave Randolph a game, and Randolph definitely had to earn its way in, even though it was clearly better. I watched a good chunk of the game on NFHS Network. So, credit where credit is due. You know, I was right in saying that Randolph was better. I was wrong in saying that Neshoba was going to get rolled. Yeah. But this is the matchup I expected to see. Just in the sense that, yeah, I thought Randolph was going to be there, and then it was either going to be Lee and West Boylston. And West Boylston won. It was a dominant showing from the Lions. It was what we've kind of come to expect to see from them the last few years. Dominic Renzoni was the best player on the field, and he wore white and black and blue, and he did not wear black and orange, and that was a big issue. He had 10 carries for 230 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half. And he finished with 311. I mean, he was sitting there and, you know, he had 3 carries to start the third quarter. And they went for 9 yards, 21 yards, and a 41-yard touchdown run. That was the game. That was it. They couldn't stop him. He had a 54-yard touchdown run in the first half. He had a 49-yard run in the first half. He had a 21-yard run in the first. I mean, he had 8 runs for 10 or more yards. And he had 6 runs for 20 or more yards. He had a 54-yard touchdown run. He had a 49-yard run. He had a 74-yard touchdown run. He had a 41-yard touchdown run. It was just... he had the power to break tackles. He had the speed to get to the outside, and Lee just did not have an answer. Credit to West Boylston's line. Mike Roth, the West Boylston head coach, said it. He said, you know, they stonewalled us in the first possession, and Lee did. You know, it started great for the Wildcats. West Boylston got the ball to start the game. First play, J.D. Reber comes in for a stop. That was Renzoni's only rush for... like, no yardage. It was, I mean, honestly, I thought it should have been a tackle for loss. It went down as a 0-yard run. And then on the next play, I don't really know why West Boylston tried to pass it. It made no sense. But that's not what they do. And J.D. Reber got a sack. Backed them way up. Quarterback scrambled on third down, and they punted. That's exactly what you want. We've said it all year. Lee is not really built to come from behind, steal a possession, go down and score, and you know, take the initiative in the game. And then Lee punted, and right off the jump, I was that felt like the moment they could have put their foot down and said, hey, we're here, we're back. This is not going to be like last year. And they couldn't quite do it. And what happened? Wes Boylston said, okay, thank you. We gave you that, and now we're not giving you anything. And Lee had to punt. And then Dominic Renzoni goes out the middle for a 54-yard touchdown run, breaks multiple tackles. Give credit to the Wildcats. Pounded the run. Got a couple of nice conversions. Dawson Reber, one-yard touchdown run with 4 seconds into the second quarter. J.D. Reber, the two-point conversion run, it's 8-7. Wildcats are here to play. And then they give up a 49-yard run to Dominic Renzoni on 2nd and 8. He just got to the edge on an option play. Tommy Wyatt bullies his way for an 8-yard touchdown run up the middle. 15-8. Now Wes Boylston never trails again. And Lee had to punt on its next drive, and just things went bad to worse. And it really, the game kind of, I don't want to call it the dagger, but the backbreaker came right before the end of the first half. There's 40 seconds left, and Lee elects to throw on 3rd and long. It's incomplete, and it stops the clock. So now Wes Boylston has time. And they get their pin deep. It was a great punt at their own 14-yard line. And then Dominic Renzoni gets a big run on 1st down, gets out of bounds. And there's 7 seconds left. And what does Wes Boylston do? Pitch it wide out to Renzoni. Great blocking. I think it caught Lee off guard because, I don't know, 4 or 5 defenders were on the other side of the play. They were not expecting that. And Renzoni had about 12 yards past the line of scrimmage to just gain momentum, get ahead of steam. And he slipped 3 lead defenders who were right there. They all either kind of got caught in pursuit, bad angles, or they just went with their arms and tried to arm tackle him, which is never going to work. And he was gone, 74-yard touchdown run, and that was it because he made it 28-8. And, you know, if they go into half down 21-8, well, guess what? 3rd quarter, Lee starts with the ball, goes down and scores. Great drive, makes it 28-14. Well, if it's 21-14, now you're really, you know, that's a 1-score game. You get 1 stop, you're feeling good, you're in it. But now it's a 2-score game. It's 28-14. And Wes Boylston doesn't really care because Dominic Renzoni takes a toss to the edge, 41-yard touchdown run. That drive was started by a bunch of big runs from him and Tommy Wyatt. And that was the game. That was it. 35-14. You're not coming back from that. Not against that team. The Wes Boylston line just did a great job of walling down. And Renzoni and Tommy Wyatt, who was kind of their fullback, he ran up the middle, whereas Renzoni was more off tackle, more to the edge. They had 4 or 5 yards before they got first contact. And so then they're running, you know, they're trying to break tackles against second-level guys, which is much, much easier than against linemen and linebackers. That was just the differences. Their offense could not be stopped, and Lee's defense didn't have answers. Its offense got out of its own rhythm. You know, it struggled in the first half, and then because it had to play catch-up, it had to do what it's not used to doing, throw the ball, move very quickly, and that's not what Lee has been good at. And so, yeah, they fell too far behind. And this one's tough. This one's really, really tough because this has been a fantastic season for Lee. You know, 10-0, Final Four, 1 seed for you know, almost the entire power rankings until the final bracket's released. And this seemed like the year, and you get a rematch with Wes Boylston. And last year, you have 3 fumbles, and you have 7 penalties, and Wes Boylston scores to start the game, and then you drive all the way down to their 2 or 3 yard line. It's a negative run, but then there's an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Lee, and you back it all the way up, and you're forced to take a field goal, and the game spirals from there. But you're saying, you know, we beat ourselves. This is uncharacteristic. We were new here. They weren't. We're on the road. They're at home. Next year, it's our year. We know where we're going to be at. And that seemed like the sentiment coming from the team after the win over Boston Cathedral, which was a really impressive win. And you could tell, like, they're like, yeah, we're coming for revenge. We're coming in hot. This is the game we wanted. And Lee played pretty clean when the game was in question. They played clean. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't make too many dumb mistakes. West Boston was just better. And I think that, you know, not to play armchair psychologist, I think this loss will hurt more because there are no excuses. They just beat Lee straight up. They were better. They're the two best players on the field. Their line was fantastic. And the lines are going back to the state title game. And that's, you know, so, it's weird because the statewide format killed the old Central Western Super Bowl. And yet here we are. I mean, this year, Lee, West Boylston for the right to go to the Super Bowl. That's exactly what it would have been. And West Boylston has kind of been the team to haunt. I mean, they've haunted everyone in the state. Let's be real. At D8, they've haunted everyone. But in D7 in 2022, they beat Wakona. And then in 2024, they beat Hoosick and Lee. Not in the semifinals, but still they beat both of them. And now it's, you know, the Berkshire teams, it seems, have they have been unlucky to have to face a team that good before the Super Bowl. But yeah, that's why West Boylston is where it is. That's why it is what it is, because it does not beat itself, and because they have some really, really good players, and they play just incredibly sound. You know, their ability to go up the middle or go off the edge at a moment's notice is really devastating if you are not ready for it. And Renzoni's ability to break tackles on the edge makes him really hard for Lee's corners. And then Tommy Wyatt is this, you know, he has the body of a lineman, but he has the speed of a tight end. And he gets ahead of steam because of his line, and all of a sudden he's dragging Wildcats 4 or 5 yards after first contact. And that's just devastating for the morale of your team and for, you know, we have to go tackle this guy again. And yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It was a good game. You know, Wild Lee fought hard, played hard, but West Boylston is better, and now we'll play Randolph, who I saw them beat Hoosick Valley. That'll be a fantastic game, I think. It was a fantastic game last year. West Boylston had some kind of magic going where Hoosick had a bunch of turnovers against them. Lee had a bunch of uncharacteristic turnovers against them. Then in the Super Bowl, Randolph, I think, had 3 turnovers in the first half. West Boylston was up something like 24-0 and held on to win, I think, 24-20, something like that. Just clung to the lead, and Randolph ran out of time. And so this year, Randolph is a little older. It'll be really interesting to see if they can get over the hump, if they can dethrone the Lions. I think they can, but after seeing West Boylston, I am far more confident in West Boylston's chances. Before this, I had thought maybe, you know, they've been better than the teams they were playing, but not quite what they had last year. No, this year, I'm like, okay, yeah, they can. They have the personnel up front, I think, to compete with Randolph. If Randolph, you know, that's not the right word. Randolph scores quickly, and West Boylston has the ability to score quickly. Randolph is much more speed than Lee, so in terms of breaking big runs, probably a little more difficult. But West Boylston is a pretty good matchup for Randolph, and neither team throws the ball a ton, not usually. They both have runners who can break tackles, break big runs, break big plays. That'll be a really interesting game. So, but that's it. That's it for Berkshire County football. Wakona in 2021, the only county team to make the Super Bowl. And since then, no one else has. It's weird because it feels like a bad year for football, right? Lee and Hoosick were the only teams to have winning records in the county this year. I mean, they went 15-1 in the regular season. That's fantastic. Hoosick's only loss was to Lee. And then the second best we have are, you know, Wakona and Monument go 3-5. Pittsfield and Taconic are 1-7, and McCann's 0-8. McCann won 0-7. McCann won 2 non-league game, non-playoff games. Wakona beat Monument, non-playoff game. a few more wins, you know, in that post competition play. But still, that, you know, on that hand, it's like, wow, rebuilding year, down year, all that. But then you say, okay, 2021, the only other year that Berkshire County football teams won in states. Hoosick was the one seed, won two games to reach the Final Four. Wakona was the one seed in D7. Sorry, Hoosick was D8. Wakona was D7. Wakona goes to the Super Bowl. Then 2022. Wakona wins in the first round. Three other teams lose. Wakona loses in the quarterfinals to West Boylston. 2023, Hoosick and Wakona are the only teams to make it. Now, that season doesn't feel as bad because A, Hoosick was undefeated, and B, everyone, other teams in the county, their records were better than they were this year. So I think that's why it doesn't feel as bad. And, you know, once again, Hoosick goes to the Final Four. Wakona does lose in the first round, though. And then 2024, Lee, Hoosick, and Wakona all make it. Lee goes to the quarterfinals, loses to West Boylston. And Wakona and Hoosick both lose in the first round. And once again, you had, you know, Monument went 5-3, Pittsfield went 7-1, all that, so it feels better. But then this year, you know, Hoosick and Wakona, or excuse me, Hoosick and Lee both won in the first round. And Hoosick gave Randolph a game in the quarterfinals. So that's pretty darn successful. Lee goes to the semifinals. Like, that is, it's pretty darn good. You know, in terms of where this ranks up, as you know, for Berkshire postseason play, it's about as good as it gets. No one has yet won a Super Bowl. Springfield Central was the only other Western Mass football team still kicking, and unfortunately they lost to Severian Brothers in the D1 semifinals. Central was up 14-0 in the first quarter and lost, so that's a tough one. They beat Severian earlier in the year, but have not been able to get over the hump. Severian has won the last two D1 titles. Excellent program. But yeah, it's, you know, we'll see where we go from here. I think Lee is in a good spot. You know, they graduate Dawson Reber, and that's going to be a big loss. 1,300 rushing yards for him, 30 touchdowns. That's a ton of offense. That is a just a really consistent player. Didn't turn the ball over much. A workhorse you can feed. You know, you need a 3rd-and-1 conversion, a 4th-and-1 conversion. You can give him the ball. You know he's going north-south, and he's going to get it. And then they lose Will and Matt Miro at corner. They lose some offensive linemen, Max Dagnall, Connor Ebling, I think, or Gabe Ebling, Connor Lewis. They return a lot of big-name players, and that's really, really good. Thomas Lucy's back. Blake Hoff is back. J.D. Reber's back. Seamus Cooney is back. David Kirchner's back. Cam Simmons is back. Gabe Ranzoni's back. You have some interesting freshmen, Mason Lucy and Bryce Hoff. They'll be back. Team should be good. Team should be very, very, very good next year. You know, we'll see how they replace those two seniors on the line. They'll need two new starting corners. But that should be a good team next year as well. After that, it might be a little bit more of a rebuild. But this is, you know, this team should be, I think, the best team in the suburban north once again. Will be interesting. I don't know what the senior count is for South Hadley or East Hampton, but I think this should be the best team in the suburban north for sure. The Hurricanes graduate a lot. 16 seniors. I mean, that's massive for anyone. And Quinnell Bradley's gone. Aiden Wicks is gone. Kamarian Kastner's gone. Jacob Browski's gone. Jaquan Vasquez is gone. Logan O'Connell is gone. That's a lot of guys. Noah Rehill's gone. All of them matriculate out, and basically all of their skill position players on offense graduate. Most of their line graduates. So I look at Hoosick kind of how Monument was this year, where you have a couple of holdovers from the year prior, and you have your quarterback. They'll have Ben Payton. But I'm not sure who he's going to throw to, and I'm not sure who he's going to hand the ball off to. So how Hoosick adjusts is going to be a big question mark. You know, this year, the co-op helped them with their depth, and that was big. They had a real JV program. Next year is where we see, hey, how does that work? How are you looking? Because now you really need those new kids to come in and take a big step and help out. And this is where you're going to need Drury kids and Greylock kids to fill in. They're going to have much more space for starting roles. this coming season and or next season. So that will be interesting to see. And because once again, you know, yeah, they're going to be playing Lee and South Hadley and East Hampton. Well, Kona, I think, will be great next year. All of their skill position players are back, pretty much. Gio Venable will be a senior. He had a fantastic first year at quarterback. Jerry Beaubrun should be back. Anthony Talora should be back. That's both your rushers. Rick Rando, Travion Hawkins, Anthony English, all back. So their line will take some hits. Jackson Crow and Everett Messini both graduate. That's tough. But that offense should be able to put up some numbers, and that will be very, very exciting. They are expecting a big freshman class, which will give them more depth, will help them out a bunch, but at the same time, it's freshmen. You know, you can only rely on them for so much, right? So they'll still probably be figuring things out a little bit, especially early in the season, but that should be a very fun team, a very good team. Pittsfield, I'm interested to see. They have quite a few seniors. They also had quite a few underclassmen starting this year. So if those guys stick with it, I think they can be really good this coming year. You know, they had to take their lumps. I think they'll get some freshmen coming up as well, some talented ones. So once again, like Wakona, they're going to take their lumps. They're going to make some mistakes, but they're also going to give some much-needed bodies, a much-needed lift. This is going to be a youth movement for PHS. Monument's going to be a rebuild, pretty much completely. I mean, they graduate 9 seniors. So it'll be very interesting to see where they go next year. New quarterback as well, Dom Caluti, 3-year starter. He's out. He'll graduate. Had a fantastic career at Monument. So that one, yeah. Well, you know, they've kind of been one of the best teams in the Tri-County. This will be a new year for the league. McCann, a good end to the season for them. Will be interesting to see if those young players stick with it. I think they certainly have some talent. Anthony Jadinski, Jane Dimitropoulos, Aiden Mendonca, and Landon Phillips with a quarterback. They have some guys. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can figure it out. And Taconic, you know, same thing. They avoided another winless season. Eddie Ferris graduates. That's a huge loss. Can they keep improving? Can they figure it out this coming year? Because it didn't run in the huddle this week. Final season-ending leaders tallies, because Lee's final game was not published. So Dom Caluti, Monument, leads the county in passing, 1,163 yards. Gio Venable at number 2, 923. Ben Payton at 3, 918. David Kirchner for Lee, he finishes with 708. So that's pretty interesting that all three of those guys, first-year quarterbacks, second, third, and fourth, Landon Phillips from McCann, 270. I believe he was not he did not play quarterback for McCann last year, but I could be wrong. But pretty big gap there in any case. But yeah, those three quarterbacks will be very interesting to watch next year. Kind of be their year. Dawson Reber for Lee, 1368, 1,368 rushing yards. By far and away led the county. Only county rusher to break 1,000, which is interesting because last year we had 4. And the year before that, we might have only had 1. Caden Tatro would have been the only one. Marcus Jerby got very, very close, but he didn't get it. So a little bit, I guess you could say it's a return to the norm. Quinnell Bradley at 950. He got very, very close. Jade Reber, 890. Eddie Ferris, 663. And Anthony Tradinsky, 461 for McCann. Receiving yards, James Green from Monument led the way with 426. Lee's Thomas Lucy finishes with 357. Kamari Kastner for Hoosick, 351. Aiden Wicks for Hoosick, 341. And Rick Rando for Wakona, 264. What was crazy was Griffin, 2 punts for Monument, got hurt in week 3 or 4, and he was on the leaderboard up until, I think, week 7 or 8. That was how big his lead was. And then, yeah, like I said, he got hurt, so he wasn't playing. And in terms of touchdowns, it was Dawson Reber and everyone else. He had 30 touchdowns this year. And then Ben Payton, the second, with 18. Quinnell Bradley at 15. Dominic Caluti at 15. And Gio Venable at 13. Not quite the numbers we saw last year, but pretty good numbers, all things considered.